Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, this message, this time that you gather us together, this first gathering. So, Father, we just ask right now that your word would be taught and your word would be understood, and that we would live by your word and stand on your word. And so, Father, we thank you and we praise you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the first gathering. And this lesson's called Being Obedient to God at All Costs. Let me share the stage here with you where we're going. Peter and John have just healed a man in the name of Jesus Christ. And the man has been known all over town. Everybody has seen him, and everybody knows that he has been lame since birth. And the people are absolutely amazed that he has been healed. Peter and John, having all of the people's attention, start to preach the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, their teaching gets the attention of the religious leaders and the Sadducees. And the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of the coming Messiah. So right away, them teaching the resurrection of Christ put them at odds. Now these leaders arrest Peter and John because they are greatly disturbed by what they are teaching and preaching. Peter and John are brought before the Sanhedrin, which is the ruling Jewish body. It is made up of rulers and elders and scribes. It is kind of like our Supreme Court. It is there that Peter speaks to the healing of this man. And he says that it was done in the name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified and God raised from the dead. So if you will, turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 4, verses 13 through 22. Acts 4, 13 through 22. And let me read the verses for you. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man whom they had healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them and is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So they called them and commanded them to not speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishment for them, because of the people, since all were giving glory to God for what they had seen done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. All right, so on your outlines there, there's a question, and it says this: what amazed the Sanhedrin most about Peter and John following this miracle? What amazed them the most? What do you think amazed them the most? They're standing in front of these two men. What amazed them the most about these two men? They were ordinary. Remember, these are fishermen. And these ordinary men are standing before these very wise, very educated, professional theologians. And they're amazed at the fact that they are performing this miracle. Now, they couldn't argue about the miracle. And in fact, Peter and John argue with Scripture. Peter and John argue with the fact that would they obey what God tells them to do, or would they obey what man tells them to do? these two fishermen from Galilee powerfully and successfully argued against this elite Jewish ruling body, and they left them absolutely marveling. Now, here's my word to you. May we be that effective in our witness as Christians. May we be that effective when we share the truth of Jesus Christ. Number two, what did they realize about these men? Well, they began to realize that these guys had been with Jesus. A little different here. I mean, they're realizing that these are disciples and they walked with Jesus. Now, I want you to know something. This goes for us as well in this world today, because we will be attacked in this world as Christians. So this goes for us. It is going to be obvious to the world if you are spending time with Jesus. It is going to be obvious to the world if you are studying the Word of God. They will see it in you, and it'll make a difference. It is not just about going to church. It's about a relationship. It's not just about sharing in a ministry. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, verse 14 says this, "And seeing the man whom had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it." Now, question number three says, what argument did the educated elite Sanhedrin use against these two men from Galilee? Here's the argument they used. You ready? Nothing. No argument. They couldn't say anything. You cannot argue against the miracles of God. We need to watch for the miraculous. We need to watch for the miraculous in our midst, because no one can argue against the miracles of God. 15 and 16. "But when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them and is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it.'" All right. Question number four. What did they do with Peter and John, and why? Now, here's the first thing they did with them. Is they asked them to go outside. Go outside and leave our presence. Because they're so freaked out that they've got to have this private council, okay? I mean, they can't discuss it with them in front of them, because then they're going to know that they have no idea what to do. So just go outside. Just go away and we'll talk in private. They're so freaked out by this that they talked among themselves. What do we do with these men? They have done technically nothing wrong. They couldn't punish them. They couldn't. They couldn't punish them because all of the people of Jerusalem saw the miracle of God. And you can't do anything against the miracle of God. Five, why was this miracle such a big deal to the Sanhedrin anyway? Well, here's why it's the biggest deal. You know, it really doesn't have anything to do with the fact that this man sat at the city gate day after day his whole life, and everybody that passed him knew that he was lame from birth. It has nothing to do with the fact that he is now standing. Don't miss this. It has everything to do with the fact that Peter and John used the healing to preach Jesus Christ and the truth of Jesus Christ. See, these men had been involved in putting Jesus to death. And here Peter and John are using this miraculous healing to preach the truth of Jesus Christ, whom they crucified. Now, that threatened their entire way of life, because the resurrection of Jesus was spreading through the entire city. And the sad thing is this, even though they could not deny what they saw, even though they could not deny the miracle, they refused to accept it. They were a living illustration of the Lord's word in John 3:19. Just make a note of John 3:19. It says this, "The light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil." This is how sin works. This is how sin works. You know the truth, yet you refuse to accept it. Just like these men, they refuse to accept the truth of the resurrection. These guys were living their worst nightmare. These disciples of Jesus were undaunted. They were standing strong. And they were standing in front of the very men that had crucified their Lord. And yet they stand bold in front of them, unafraid. Even more frustrating for the Sanhedrin was that this notable miracle in the name of Jesus Christ had been performed. See, these men were trouble to their leadership. These men were trouble to their leadership. Verse 17 and 18. "But so that it spread no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them to not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus." So there you go. And number 6, out of desperation, what did they do to try to stop Peter and John? They tried to shut them up. They tried to intimidate them. They tried to make them silent, commanding them and threatening them to be quiet. Number 7, what would have happened if Peter and John had feared the Sanhedrin and given up? What would have happened? Remember, this is the start of the church, okay? This is the very beginning. So if you get derailed at the beginning, what's going to happen? What would happen today? We would not be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ as freely as we are today. Now you have to understand something. This was an important crossroad for the early church. It's just starting. And right off the bat, they're trying to silence the good news of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to think of the irony here. The early church leaders had to be commanded to be quiet. Now you compare that to the modern church today. Modern Christian leaders today have to be commanded to teach the whole Word of God. It's not the norm in our churches today. But we have to stand for that. We have to stand for the Word of God being the foundation of the church. If these guys had remained silent, then church history would have been radically different. Everything hinged on them obeying God at all cost, even with their lives. Now you think about this new work. Will we leave a legacy of God's word in Mechanicsville? Will that be first and foremost in our minds? We will if we are obedient and we stand undaunted against attacks. And we know that the word of God must go forward and stand strong. Verses 19 and 20. "But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.'" Number 8, did Peter and John have to call in a committee to... Hold on. Don't read into this. Did Peter and John have to call in a committee to help them decide what to do or to call their friends and ask advice. No, they knew exactly what they were to do. They were to preach the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. They did not try to please these leaders, okay? They immediately answered, and they refused to obey their commands. They appealed to the higher court, and that is, let God be the judge. Now, this statement where they said, do we listen to you or do we listen to God? It stopped their threats right in their tracks. It stopped the Sanhedrin's threats and it stopped them from inflicting any fear. Now you tell me, is it more important to follow you or to follow God? Now remember, these fishermen are standing bold. They're standing bold before the religious elite. Now that would be like you or me, just as an individual, standing and arguing a case before the Supreme Court. I mean, think of all the credentials that they have, and there you are. Just regular old you. And you'd feel unprepared, you'd feel unqualified. But if God is with you, oh, how things change. These men have God with them. And these men are undaunted, even if they stand before the religious elite. Number 9. It is important to understand how Peter and John treated the Sanhedrin. Although they refused to obey the Sanhedrin, they nevertheless treated them with respect. They did not argue with them. They did not put them to shame. They didn't pretend to submit to their ways and then go on and disobey. They carefully and respectfully explained that they could not stop speaking the truth of Jesus Christ. Paul would later write this in the notes, 1 Corinthians 9:16. Paul would say this later, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Verse 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since all were glorifying God for what they had seen done. Number 10. Out of final desperation, what did the Sanhedrin do? Well, they tried to continue to intimidate them. The threats didn't stop from the initial threats. There's still more threats. And they tried to threaten Peter and John because they could not punish them. Instead, they feared the reaction of the people, all of whom were glorifying God for what had happened. Now, they let them go. And they let them go, and the truth of Jesus Christ, the good news, was preached. They weren't just free men to go free. They were free men to go and preach the word of God. They were free men to go and tell the truth of Jesus Christ as the church is starting to teach the death, resurrection, and forgiveness of sins. Now, here's what I want you to know at this gathering. We are here to glorify God for his miraculous provisions. Now, we will boldly teach the gospel of Christ, even if we are considered to be different than the world. We will teach the gospel of Christ, even if we are different than other churches. We might even be seen by the world as narrow-minded. And I want you to know something. We are narrow-minded because we focus narrowly on Jesus Christ. Amen. May we live by this. May we teach the Word of God, and may we watch for the miraculous. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Father, you have a message for us, and that message is from Genesis to Revelation. That message is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, may we stand on that. May we look for it. May we seek it. May we hunger for it. May we consume it. Father, may it be real in our lives, and may it be real as we share it with those around us. Father, you are our God, and we give you the glory for the miraculous. We give you the glory for our lives being stirred up. Father, thank you. Thank you for paying attention to us. Thank you for moving us in our spirit. Father, thank you for your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There are a lot of people that ask, what next? Well, let me go through a little bit of steps here. Because it's been, what, a week and a half? I want you to know something. Teaching the Word of God and watching for the miraculous is going to sustain this group. And I want you to know, the miraculous started a week and a half ago. The miraculous started in this being an opportunity to happen. And God is blessing my family, and God is protecting me. And but I believe that it was miraculous the way it happened and when it happened. It is God's timing, so you have to know that. Now, I want you to know something. Starting a church has been the last thing from my mind for the last 10 years, because that's how long my wife's been bugging me to start a church. And my answer to my wife for 10 years has been, no, no, no. I was a businessman before I was called in the ministry. I started a business, several businesses from scratch, and I did it when I didn't have kids. That is a younger man's game. So I have never been interested in that. So as the miracles go on, last Friday, my wife says, why will you not start a church? And I said, because I've always had a job. And she looked very sternly in my eye and said, well, you don't anymore. So I had to pray from that Friday, okay, God. Now, I'm a big peace and provision man. And those of you that I've talked to before or heard me speak, if you're seeking God's will and you don't have peace, it's not God's will. Stop. I mean, look for peace, because he will give you peace even going into the hardest situations. So I start praying, and I want you to know that this 10 years of infighting in me starts to go away by Sunday. I mean, I start having this peace. And my wife, in conversations, it's kind of like, what are you saying? Well, I don't know. But God is moving my heart. Now, I got flesh just like everybody else, and the businessman in me took over Monday morning. Because I know that if you're going to start a work, you got to have a place to go. You can't just, you know, well, they'll meet outside. Did you feel outside this summer? There will be no one there, you know? So, and here's the problem. There's nothing in Mechanicsville. Everything's taken. The schools are all taken. Everything's taken. So I set out in my flesh at like 8 o'clock in the morning, because I know, well, Rule Point's right down the road from my house, and I'll go see if they have anybody in there. So I get there, and the principal is not there, and that's who you have to speak to, and she's on her way. She just called. She's on her way. So, okay. Do you have a church here on Sunday mornings? No, we do not. Wow, okay, that's great. So I wait 15 minutes and she's still not, I don't know where she's at. She's coming. I said, I'm going to go run a couple errands. And I'm going to look for a place like this. So I drive out and I find this place. They're not open at 8 in the morning, but I'm getting phone numbers and I'm gone for 15 minutes and I come back. And at 8:30, I walk in. Is she here? She's still not here yet. She's on her way. Okay. So I sit there for another 10 or 15 minutes. And I begin to think, my wife and I and our family had just visited a church on Sunday that met in an elementary school. And they sat in folding chairs. No pads. Some of you have those right there. No pads. Now, their church service was extremely long. And guess what? It's extremely uncomfortable. And I think, gosh, you know, it would be nice if there was something with a little more comfort. And I think, well, what about the auditorium at Hanover High School? But they have a church in there that I know of. So the principal is not there from Rule Point. I said, well, I'll be back. And so by 8:30, 8:45, I go to Hanover High School. And they call the principal out and he says, well, I don't think we have a church here anymore. I said, you don't? He says, no, but I don't handle that. Let me grab this guy. He's in charge of all that. And he comes out. He goes, you know, we don't have a church here anymore. They left the beginning of summer. And then he shares that he's a brother in Christ. Amen. So he's assuming that we have like 10 or 15 people. And the auditorium would be way too big for us. And he shares the commons and he says, we have comfortable seats. You know, they're not folding chairs. We will set them up for you. We'll tear them down. And you can be here forever.
Wow. Praise God.
And I'm like, really? So by 9 o'clock, he said, look, I will give you first right of refusal. Nobody else has talked to me. If you want to use Hanover High School to start a church, then I will make it available to you, and it'll be available to you as of September 12th, which is the weekend after next. But we had one more thing that I needed to see God's provision. I mean, okay, God, you're providing, and you're provided by 9 o'clock. But there's one more thing, and that is people. People to start a work. People that want the Word of God taught, who want to fellowship together as brothers and sisters in Christ, but that Word of God is what stands strong in their hearts. So, it had always been in my mind that if 50 people came, that I knew that God would provide enough people that we could start a new work for Mechanicsville. And we could leave a legacy of standing on God's Word. So if 5 people came, then God said no, and I had to know that. If 25 people came, then I'd have no idea what God's saying with that and have to rethink it. But if 50 people came, now I'm not talking about 50 people that are going to be in their own churches and sometimes in this work. I'm talking about 50 people that know that God's calling to them to be a part of something that's going to put God's Word first and foremost and watch and see the miraculous and see what God can do. Amen. So we have 51 people. And God has provided. And we give glory to God for His provision.